Well, I had said I had wanted to revisit this doctrine of the forgiveness of sins. On Baptism of the Lord Sunday, we looked at the connection between baptism and the forgiveness of sins according to the Nicene Creed. We say one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, but the Apostles' Creed simply says, I believe in the forgiveness of sins. I hope that we all believe that our sins are forgiven. We just had a prayer of confession and we were reminded again that Jesus has paid for our sins and has forgiven us again. Our sins were forgiven on the cross, where Jesus paid the guilt for all of our sins. And then he rose again from the dead, showing our sins have indeed been forgiven. But in Jesus' teachings, there's also a connection between the forgiveness of sins and a responsibility that we have received to forgive. Every Sunday, we pray together the Lord's Prayer as recorded in the Gospel of Matthew. You may even pray this prayer daily or many times a day all through the week. Sometimes we pray it very sincerely. Sometimes we pray it and it helps it to remind us that we are in the presence of God and we feel closer to God when we pray it. Other times we pray it very casually because it's something we do all the time. And in this prayer, we come to the fourth petition. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Debts, a lot of people say trespasses. Debts is more accurate as recorded in Matthew. Trespasses was made common by the book of prayer. They picked that up from Jesus' commentary on the passage afterwards, which does use the word trespasses. And you heard in Luke's gospel that the word sins is used. So whether we use sins or trespasses or debts, we're saying the same thing. Every failure to obey God puts us hopelessly in debt, but God forgives us. So the first thing we see in this petition is that we are to ask for forgiveness. Forgive us our sins. We're asking God to forgive us. Many of you have 1 John 1:9 memorized, that if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We confess our sins. Confessing our sins and asking for forgiveness reminds us of how we have wronged God. We have to take responsibility and name the things that we have done. It puts gravity to our condition. It reminds us of the great grace that we have already been given by Christ, that our sins have been paid in full. But we only receive the benefit of that forgiveness if we ask for it. Think of a student who's been offered a full scholarship to an expensive school. If that student chooses not to accept that scholarship, the student never knows the benefit that was given to her. We've been given a wonderful, wonderful gift in Jesus. Confession gives us access to that gift. Second, in this petition, we see that we are also called to forgive. Unforgiveness doesn't nullify that God forgave us at the cross, but it does harden us from understanding the depths of that forgiveness, and it prevents us from receiving that forgiveness. An example is the parable of the unforgiving servant, which Jesus tells in Matthew 18, verses 21 through 35. In that story, there is a servant who owes his master a huge sum of money. There's no way that this guy is ever going to be able to pay that money back. When his master calls him in, he pleads and begs to be forgiven. And the master says, if you don't repay me, I'm going to sell you and all of your family, your wife and your children, so that I can pay off this debt. But he begs and begs for mercy. He says he's going to pay the man back. The master knows that he can never repay the debt, but he has mercy on the man anyway and forgives the debt. Then the slave turns around, sees a guy who owes him some chump change, and says, hey, give me this money. And he even grabs him, it says. The guy, just like the man before him, begs and says, just give me a little bit more time. Give me a little bit more time. I'll pay you back. And he says no, and he has the man thrown in jail. Where the big boss hears about it, brings the servant back in, says, I just forgave you all this, and you turn around and you don't forgive this man, and he ends up and he turns him over to the torturers for refusing to show mercy. Because the one who was in debt didn't really understand the huge gift that he had been given. He didn't understand what mercy had been done. He didn't really understand the extent of his debt and what it meant for the master to, because even though the master is pretty wealthy, master has needs too. And so he doesn't extend the grace to a seemingly much lesser debt of his fellow servant. He doesn't realize the weight of his debt. When we have an unforgiving spirit, it shows that we don't understand the weight of our debt. It interrupts our communion with God. God waits upon our confession, and God expects us to forgive because we have been forgiven. If we realize the debt from which we have been bailed out, then we will forgive. In verses 14 and 15 of Matthew, Jesus uses the word trespasses. Trespass is a falling to one side, a deviation from truth or righteousness. God forgives us when we deviate from truth and from God's right standards. We are to forgive when we are lied to and lied about. We are to forgive when our rights are violated. It doesn't mean that we don't work for justice, that we don't seek to have our rights enforced. It doesn't mean that we extend blanket trust to everyone who has lied us, to someone who has betrayed us deeply and been deceitful to us. We don't just trust them again. There's a difference between policies and ideologies and individuals. Judith and my mom and I watched Torture for Christ on Friday, and the love for the communists displayed by the Romanian people was so humbling. Richard Wurmbrand said, I hate communism. And he elaborated on all the harm that communism does, not only to the Romanian people that were living under it, but to the Russians themselves. But then he also said, I love communists. I love the Russians. There's a difference between hating communism and hating people. He and his fellow believers were able to see the people as lost individual souls in desperate need of a savior. They showed their love by risking their lives over and over to share the truths about Jesus, to hand out copies of the gospel to those who were violating their rights, who would beat, imprison, and kill them. Luke's gospel uses the word sins. Sin is missing the mark of God's standards or falling short of God's standards. God has forgiven every sin. Before Jesus told that parable in Matthew 18 about the servant, Peter had asked Jesus, how many times do I forgive a brother who has sinned against me? Seven times? Peter thinks he's being pretty generous by that. And Jesus says, no, 70 times seven. And Jesus doesn't mean we keep track of 144 times that somebody has wronged us on 145. Oh, that's it. Not forgiving you anymore. No, Jesus is saying that our capacity to forgive needs to mirror God's capacity to forgive. And notice that when Peter asks Jesus about forgiveness, Peter says, a brother. A brother, that's somebody close to you. That's somebody that you care about, that should care about you. Because forgiveness can be the hardest when the person is closest to us. We are hurt most by the ones that we love. It is especially hardest when that person also claims to be a follower of Jesus. Now, not everyone who claims to be a follower of Jesus truly is, but even those of us who are still sinners who still cause harm and hurt to people whom we love. Jesus warns us in these verses that we're never going to truly know what it means to be forgiven if we don't forgive. As Jan Millet-Glockman says in The Faith We Confess, to refuse to forgive other human beings, both near and far, is really to remove ourselves from the range of Jesus' forgiveness and its renewing power. Forgiveness and acceptance are not the same thing. But not to forgive is an insult to God. Now, forgiveness is not a dismissal or a trivialization of the guilt of the one who needs the forgiveness, whom we are to forgive. It doesn't negate the pain that we feel, but rather it gives gravity to that pain as we name it. We are telling the person what it is that they have done that has wronged us or hurt us. We name the pain and the hurt. And again, as Lockman says, if the cross of Christ is the seal of forgiveness, then clearly the guilt is not ignored, but endured. I co-facilitated a Christ-centered recovery group for 4 years. We use those same 12 steps in that program that all 12-step programs use, but we put the emphasis back on Jesus Christ and the biblical foundation to it. So we say Jesus is the one true higher power. But if you know those 12 steps, then you know that part of the 12-step process is forgiving and seeking forgiveness, that you have to admit the wrong that you've done and ask to be forgiven, and you have to forgive those who have wronged you. And we use group accountability and sponsor accountability to help us in that process. We cannot forget, but we can forgive. Friends, the implications in this teaching by Jesus and the statement in the Apostles' Creed are clear. That if we say we believe in the forgiveness of sins, then we must forgive. We cannot truly grasp what forgiveness is if we don't forgive others. The forgiveness we grant is often more for our own benefit than the benefit of the other person. Because if we don't forgive, then it's us who are holding on to anger and resentment and bitterness, and that just makes us unhappy and bound and not free. Unforgiveness is poison to the soul. So who do you need to forgive? Maybe you've been holding on to resentment for a long time. Maybe there's a relationship that you have that seems relatively stable because you've called a truce, but it's not a growing relationship because there's that current of something that hasn't been forgiven underneath. Maybe you know that you need to forgive, but you really are struggling with the ability to forgive. Can you start by asking God to enable you to forgive, or simply to make you ready to forgive, to make you willing to forgive? Practice seeing the person that you need to forgive as a soul who is loved by God, someone who is created in God's image, somebody who God loves, who's in need of healing and wholeness. Pray for God to help you to do that. Some of us have deep wounds, and we can't forgive on our own. I was lied to by the elders of my last church, and I didn't even know how traumatized I was after it until I would hear a certain song on the radio or be reminded of something that would cause all this panic and anxiety to well up in me again. So I met with a group for healing prayer. I spent almost 2 hours in a session of healing prayer. I already went in knowing that I had to forgive, that God has already given me the power to forgive. I wasn't sure that I really wanted to forgive, except for the fact that I knew that I couldn't move on and I couldn't be healed without forgiving, because I've been through the 12 steps. I know that you have to forgive to move on. So my prayer team revealed to me that I also have the right to forgive. That was a completely new and different way of looking at forgiveness for me. That session was hard, but good work. And then after that, I met with a spiritual director for a few months because forgiveness is difficult. It's not always easy. But what Jesus went through to extend forgiveness to us was hard work. It's good to seek help when you are finding it hard to forgive. And not only can Jesus help you, but your brothers and sisters in Christ can help you. There are all kinds of groups and counselors that can help you with the hard work of forgiveness. Brothers and sisters, when we affirm that we believe in the forgiveness of sins, not only are we confessing that we trust that God has paid for all of our sin, past, present, and future, but we're also affirming that we know that we are called to be people who extend forgiveness to others. So, do you believe in the forgiveness of sins? Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you so much that our sins have been forgiven, that the work of Jesus on the cross was full and complete, and the proof of that was in his resurrection, that we can be forgiven of the worst things that we have ever done, the things that we don't even know that we're going to do next, the things that we do over and over again that we wish we wouldn't. You forgive it all. And Lord, because we have been forgiven much, we too must forgive. Lord, it's hard work. You know it was hard because you went to the cross for it. You suffered. It can be hard work to forgive, but it can be healing and freeing work. So Lord, give us the courage to be people who forgive readily. May we practice it so often that it becomes easier and easier. Not that we dismiss the pain or that we extend trust to everyone who's hurt us again, but that we don't hold bitterness and resentment in our hearts, that we can say, I forgive you. Help us to see the people who have hurt us as people who are loved by you, created in your image, in need of healing and wholeness and forgiveness in Jesus. It is in his name that we ask this. Amen. Our hymn is 372, Lord, I Want to Be a Christian.